Bob Radio live in the house, large baby. Said, ooh, ain't enough love, ain't enough love. Roth Radio. Play it up there, B. Young, live in the house tonight. B. Young, be bad in the background, baby.
Roth Radio, extra large, super large, in charge, so large I need a Bard Marge, but she's not Marge. This is Danny. How are you this morning, Dan?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you for having me.
Outstanding. Animal, how are you this morning?
I'm all right, D-Row. How you doing this morning, man?
Yo, did you wake up or stay up?
Kind of a little both, man. You know,
you were
sleeping in and out. You know how we do it.
You were hovering in anticipation.
There you go, hovering.
B. Young, let me hear the B solo, the B bad in the background. Dream karaoke, huh? That's what they need at the Super Bowl now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading here on the top of the news item. It says Motown artists are not happy about the Super Bowl. Looking for the Temptations on Super Bowl Sunday? Well, they're not going to be there. They're going to be in Charlottesville, Virginia. Smokey Robinson, well, he's playing down the block from Ford Field the night before. Diana Ross, not on her schedule. America's biggest sporting event is in Detroit this year, but there won't be any corresponding celebration of the Motown sound, at least not on the NFL turf. That's an interesting call, huh? What is Detroit known for?
Motown.
Motown, yeah.
Well, it's known for automobiles, I think, okay?
Yeah.
I think the automobiles are primarily what it's known for, but I also maintain, Danny, that an automobile is nothing but a transport system for a stereo.
Well, it's also known for its crime.
So. Well, crime also adds to the music, okay? If you keep it real and you come from a dangerous part of town, then you will have the Motown sound. It all kind of conspires to be the same thing. But as far as, you know, what it's meant to America, Motown sound definably was the 1960s. Coretta Scott King just passed away. Elvis just left the building in a big kind of way there in terms of civil rights and, you know, even Sharpton's got a radio gig now, right? Isn't he broadcasting regularly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of where the hip-hop nation is now, you know, black culture has dominated the entire earth. You go to, like, Bradford, England, and it's the Pakistani capital, the industrial part of the UK there. Virtually every kid there is Pakistani, and they all are hip-hop. They all drive. I can't do the accent exactly. I'm you're D-Rope. I'm done with that. I'm totally not kidding. It's the coolest thing you ever saw. It's that conglomeration of cultures, which is kind of what we always expected. That's what the 60s always told us, or the Beat Generation said was actually going to be the thing. And now that culture has finally, well, it has never completely arrived. No culture ever completely dominates, but black culture, in terms of what you see on MTV, what you see on the VH1, geez, what you see on Country Music Channel. Anytime some homeboy ties a bandana around his head and then puts the cowboy hat on, that's black.
Yo.
Oh, yeah, you know, right?
Yeah.
Are you seeing this animal?
Yeah, you know, I've been seeing it a lot.
And how do you feel about it?
Oh, I'm cool, man. I'm cool with it. About time they start catching on, man, you know.
Okay.
I have no problem with it at all.
Okay. Well, look, why don't we go back to the root, not the fruit, all right?
Okay.
The very beginnings of this kind of an effort was based in music. The first thing that ever got across to anybody was not a message. The first thing that ever got across to somebody was not an important idea. The first thing that got across to everybody, especially if you were a teenager, was the groove, baby. You even got to be black. You even got to act like you were black on the television set. You even got to act like you saw on the Soul Train, or even every kid who was on the, what was it called, American Bandstand,
yeah.
Well, they were all trying to dance black, man. The single most important thing that happened to kids all over the world. Well, there were two things, the most important things. Can you guess, Danny, in the very early 60s? What were the two most important things that led the generational prison break? Go.
The whole sex revolution?
Close. I'll give you that one.
It was, drugs?
No, it was the pill. The pill started an entire generational prison break, okay, in terms of women's, you know, capacity to do whatever. But equally as important, you never got to use the pill, especially as a guy. You never found a girl who was using the pill. You never made that happen unless something else transpired. Can you guess what that was? Not drugs. Try again. Close.
You had to impress them with your dance moves?
Very good. It was the twist. Oh, the twist was the first dance that you could do alone. A whole nation of skinny, pimply little wallflowers like me finally could pop onto the middle of the dance floor and dominate. Watch me now, baby. Yeah. No, you tell me you ain't smiling. Tell me you ain't smiling, dude.
I'm smiling.
You're smiling through the pain.
You twist very well.
You're smiling through the pain. Oh, I had a lot of bar mitzvah experience.
Wasn't it Sam Cooke made the song called The Twist, I think?
That's right. Okay, a black man dominated the bar mitzvah scene.
Chubby Checker. Twist like
It wasn't Sam Cooke.
Chubby Checker.
Chubby Checker was the very first one.
Oh, okay.
And then a couple other people did it, but it was Let's Twist. And then the second one was Twist Again, like we did last summer, actually.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
We're going to do culture lessons later.
Okay, cool, gotcha.
This is Black History Month. You should know these things.
Oh, I'm getting there, you know. I come from a white environment, though.
And I come from a black one, so we kind of support each other,
you know. He got my back, I got his, you know.
At any rate, we're reading the story here. It says that the Motown artists are not happy about the Super Bowl. Well, of course the Motown artists aren't happy. They've been getting the bad end of the stick ever since they were actually recording. If you saw the Motown retrospective or any of these documentaries, these guys arguably were as important making the backup band, for example, as the singers. Think about Marvin Gaye's stuff, okay? That classic cowbell that's in there, mother, mother. The guy who was playing those bongos, those congas and everything played on every track that he did. That's a miracle combination. You say, well, we can take a little egg out of the cake. It won't change the taste. Oh, yes, it will. You say, okay, we made the cake with 7 different ingredients. I can take a little sugar out of the cake. It's not going to change the taste. Oh, yes, it will. Don't worry, we can change the singer. It won't change things. Oh, yes, it will, Eddie. And if you think about that, those bandmates, the people in the rhythm section and everything, the guy on the marimba, the cat on the congas, the guy who orchestrated the guitar parts, what's the most important instrument in a band? What do you think, Dan?
Guitarist.
Well, see, you're white.
I was trying to be polite.
No, I was thinking the drummer.
Well, see, you're white also. Obviously, it's the bass. Go ahead, baby. It's okay. It's not possible to get any of these answers right.
It's the bass, man. Because back in my young days, I remember going to groups. They didn't even have instruments. They did it with their mouth, you know. Like this one guy named Homer Jordan. He had the best bass voice you ever want to hear.
Turn on the music. Who?
His name was Homer Jordan.
From who?
He's from Covington County.
Covington County, Alabama. Yeah. Say that name again. The way you even say it is poetry.
Homer Jordan.
Homer Jordan.
Yeah.
And what was Homer's claim to fame?
Oh, he was in a group. I can't think of the name of it, but the first time I saw him, he would like do the bass like boom, 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 boom.
Keep going, baby. Keep going. I'm going to do a station ID. Boom, 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 boom. Roth Radio broadcasting from Covington County, Alabama. Y'all live in front of y'all. Big black butt, baby. Yeah. Roth Radio live.
Something like that. Yeah.
That was amazing.
Oh, thank you. Can I get a record deal now?
And for 45%.
Oh, I thought it was 20. Where'd the 45 come in at?
We'll talk.
Okay.
My people will talk to your people.
Is them Dark Vader guys?
Yeah, Vader, Vader and Sons. That's my attorney.
I'm in trouble.
That's who the people at Motown needed.
Yeah, you got that right.
They never had the attorneys, so they lost all their attentions, all their royalties. Remember when Michael Jackson came on TV for the Motown's 25th anniversary, whatever it was, and he demonstrated for the first time, at least to all of, you know, the white communities in the Midwest and everything, the moonwalk. Okay, and he stole the show. He was doing, he sang with his brothers, he did the Jackson 5 thing, and then he came out and he said, okay, now we're going to update it, and I think he did Billie Jean, and he had on the hat, and he did the moonwalk for the first time, changed the face, arguably, of popular culture. Till this very moment, you wouldn't have Usher if you hadn't had that moment on the show, perhaps. Can you do the moonwalk, Dan?
hell no.
But Dave,
I'm a white girl. You think I can?
Dave, check. It was like a little tape out back in the 80s to show where Michael Jackson got the moonwalk from. He wasn't the first black guy to do it. Well, somebody did it in the 30s or 40s.
I actually saw a show. A different show. A few years, when I was a little kid, where three guys like on Soul Train did it together. And when I saw it, I thought maybe they had the floor tilted and they were just sliding down it.
Okay, well, see, I gave you a lawyer's dissertation there. I said that was the first time that he ever showed it to white people.
Oh, okay.
You got to listen closely on Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. I got Danny here in attendance. We're talking about the Motown artists, etc. Anyways, these guys always got the shaft, and they were always dispensed, even at that show. My point of bringing up Michael Jackson on the 25th Motown anniversary, which was in Pasadena, California, at the Civic Auditorium, broadcast nationally. It was a big issue and everything. All those classic Motown singers were there, but none of the band members were. And the guy who played the congas on all of that great Marvin Gaye stuff, fellas in the back, dig up some of that classic old Marvin Gaye stuff, you know, what's going on and that sort of thing, because it's the dominant interest instrument in the band, and you hear it when they sample it on all kinds of great hip-hop and all kinds of great rap tunes, etc. All those guys had to buy their own tickets and sneak in the door along with the regular audience and sit in the back, okay, up in the balcony in the nosebleed seats. They didn't get the cred, they didn't get whatever. And now even the singers aren't getting the cred. See, once you start, you let that infection start, you know, you say, well, we're going to play polite, you know, and we'll accept that some of our musicians aren't being given the credit or whatever. Now even the singers are being dismissed. What do you think, Danny? Should they be part of the Detroit thing, or is that a part of the past and you want to represent the future? Go ahead.
No, I don't think that the Super Bowl is necessarily there to represent the city that it's in. I mean, when it's in San Diego, are there San Diego artists featured, or Arizona, Florida? I mean, it's not necessarily about the city.
Okay, who are the two teams that are playing specifically?
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Seattle.
Okay. Why do they pick Detroit, do you think? You got any idea? Any particular idea?
They usually pick somewhere warm, so I'm not sure why they picked Detroit this year.
That's an interesting call. Anybody have an idea why that is? How come? You know, go ahead and say it, man. Why did they pick Detroit here for this?
Well, usually they go for someplace warm or a dome, and Detroit's a dome, so.
Okay. But in terms of the Dukes
weigh in. Don't cities lobby for it?
Yeah, this is the real reason. All these teams now, they want to get brand new stadiums, and they're very expensive for the cities, so they offered the cities the Super Bowl if they put in these new stadiums, because they think the city will make a lot of that money back that week of the Super Bowl.
Okay, so there is an element of Detroit that is present here. It's not a neutral city. This isn't Switzerland where we have the economic convention or whatever, because nobody really knows where that is. Quick, where's Switzerland? See?
Is that a trick question?
Over there. It's that way.
Yeah, that's right, kid. That's right. At least we're not in a helicopter. Okay. David Lee Roth, large and in charge. We're Roth Radio. At any rate, I think that there is an element of Detroit involved, because obviously there's civic pride, like Dukes was just saying. They want to have the stadium. They want the attention paid to Detroit. And if you've watched any of the Michael Moore documentaries, you know that that whole part of the earth could certainly use the support in terms of tourism, or, you know, whatever, in terms of economic, any kind of support or anything positive in that direction. What is the nature of Detroit? Okay, you got Kid Rock. Is he performing at the Super Bowl, or he's hosting, I think, the Super Bowl party or something on ESPN?
Soiree.
Yeah, but he doesn't use that word, Hutch, so knock off the sarcasm. No, he's hosting a show on ESPN or something. You a Kid Rock fan, Dan?
Yeah, he's all right.
What do you like about Kid Rock?
He incorporates a lot of, I think, the background of music in his own music. I think he steals, you know, in a positive way from old styles of music.
What kind of music are you a fan of?
The gamut. I really listen to everything.
Okay. Well, I think the Kid Rock certainly represents Detroit to a great extent. But who else musically represents Detroit? Go ahead, man.
Grand Funk Railroad.
Okay. Oh, well, you can laugh, but I've been servicing a Grand Funk Railroad loop here without anybody knowing it. I'm twisted. My twisted pervert sense of humor sells this. Go ahead.
Mark, Don, and Mel.
Oh, totally. I can play a song that'll change your attitude about that.
I love that.
Oh, totally. I have several loops that I put together that's great stuff. But I don't know if you want to have Grand Funk Railroad. And the Motown is certainly part of it. What about like Rick James or somebody like that? Oh, no. CeCe Ryder. the guy, Wayne Cochran, and the...
Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels.
There you go. Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. And that was repopularized by Bruce Springsteen and everybody. So, you know, C.C. Ryder and Devil with a Blue Dress On and stuff like that. More people probably know the lyrics to Devil with a Blue Dress On than Star Spangled My Country, Tis of Purple Mountains, you were going to say.
The great Bob Seger.
Hey, like a rock.
That's the trick.
Ted Nugent.
Is it Ted from the trick?
Hold on. Wait a second. Let's dwell on Bob Seger there. I laugh. Everybody laughs. But now that song is way more well-known than even My Country Purple Tis of Bombs Bursting in Air. If I just sing those three words, you know exactly what commercial I'm talking about, right? Like a rock. You're in a Chevy truck.
There you go. There is one artist you're forgetting from Detroit, which is Eminem.
Eminem is, ultra current, yeah. Ultra popular, just out of rehab, just remarried. Mm-hmm. He's going to be our special guest. Not today. Are you an Eminem fan, Dan?
I think he's very talented.
Okay. Why do you think Eminem is talented? Go for it.
I think he came from a very difficult background and could have become a typical trailer park, not do anything with his life, and chose to get out. And I think you have to give somebody a lot of credit for that.
In terms of elevating himself?
Elevating himself and growing up in a black neighborhood and instead of bucking it, embracing it.
So you think that he's sort of in between there, like Lenny Kravitz. You're not really sure when it says weight, sex, race. What does he write?
Well, Lenny Kravitz is pretty white except for his music.
Well, see, now you see, that was a lawyer answer. That was very good. There is no color. It's the new color. I don't know what color that is. What do you get
green.
When you... Yeah, what do you call it? Green for his pocket.
Money. Yeah, yeah. And gold.
Green and gold for what's in his pocket. Yeah. And what? He just... okay, so that why do they have Eminem going on at the Super Bowl? Is he performing at that? Or is he considered a... an alternative. He's not considered across the board Americanism. You know what?
Yeah, he's not family.
Yeah, he's not a family not a family item. I don't think they wouldn't have him. They want, you know, the little family thing. I think. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
the Super Bowl.
But he just remarried his wife for the second time. So maybe if he lasts a certain amount of time, then that's like double family. That really showed his love, right? And he just got out of rehab, so that really shows his good intentions, right? And the road to the Citicorp Bank is paved with good intentions.
He's got some lyrics that might offend.
Oh, is that the issue?
Yeah, some of his older ones, you know, stuff just that gets gays and women and stuff.
Yeah.
What about his new one? Have you seen his new one where he's in rehab, literally in the video, and he steps up at the AA meeting or something like that? What's the name of that song there, Holmes? Do you know what the name of that is? We'll dig that up. But that's a popular video now. And that, again... America loves that. You know, if you, what do you call it? Retrieve yourself, if you redeem yourself.
Yeah.
You know
it's kind of like Richard Pryor, you know, when he made fun of his drugs. And now I think he's doing the same thing. You know, it's serious, but he's explaining it in a funny way, like you can really, you know, feel
okay. Him. Yeah, I think that's great. And I think it's wonderful, but I prefer the rage.
Yeah.
Could you
too.
Imagine the tragedy of Keith Richards really sober up? I would lose interest totally. And even if I read that the other guitar player in the Rolling Stones, what's his name? Ronnie Wood? That if Ronnie Wood, even if he has sobered up and he has gone to rehab and everything, I still maintain the hope that he could fall off the wagon. And that there is some amount of crashing into the third turn and tearing all the paint off the right-hand side of your car out there as opposed to driving perfectly. Go.
Yeah, that song's When I'm Gone.
Okay, we're talking about the Eminem song then. And in When I'm Gone, is he regretful of his past? Is it one of those stories? Is it that kind of autobiography?
Well, what I'm getting from the song is it's all about his daughter, and you know he says how much he loves her and stuff like that. But then he says, "I'll get out of my way. I got to write the song. I got to go tour. I got to go on the road."
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So it's all that junk.
It's all that fake redemption stuff that sells. That could be. That could put him right up next to Brokeback Mountain. Ooh, that's gonna hurt in the morning.
David Lee Roth mornings.
Listen to them congas in the background, baby. They're the sounds of Detroit. Reaching out, baby. Short distance.
me to you, Roth Radio. There's not too many of you, baby. This is David Lee. Listen. This kind of music, you play air congas. There you go. Yeah, man. And if you really like the girl, you'll play the congas for her. Watch me, Danny. Watch me, baby. You know we've got to find a way. Oh, yeah. Look at her face. Look at the face. Yeah.
You do have rhythm. I'll give you that.
I'm getting SEC. I'm getting some serious eye contact here, baby. Whoa. Roth Radio. David Lee Roth, large and in charge. So large, I need a barge, Marge. That's why they made me Sarge. Danny is in attendance here, sharing the morning breakfast show. So, Danny, what do you think? Should the Motown artists be part of the Detroit issue of the Super Bowl Sunday? Is Detroit's character not part of Motown or what? Yes or no? What do you think?
Well, let me pose this question to you. Do you think that the halftime show should be an American band? I mean, let alone the fact that it's not a band from Detroit, but they're not even American.
Okay, I don't know that it necessarily needs to be American. For example, if it was in New York City, arguably two-thirds of what makes New York City great is all the insurgents like us who came from everywhere else with a whole lot of ambition and a lot of ideas. That's why you've got Chinatown, you've got Little Poland, you've got Ireland up in Yonkers, you've got Little Italy, you've got Little Israel, etc., etc., okay? And you can reflect that in any million number of ways. Detroit, though, is a little more quintessential American. Maybe the element of what you're asking there is what I reflect on is that Detroit has a few, maybe three or four things that really stand out to me. And these are quintessential American things, just as like in L.A. Though a lot of people come from everywhere, arguably, again, God tilted the map to the left, if you're facing the map. And everybody loose and unscrewed down, rolled into Hollywood, close to where I live, where you live, animal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Looking for the spotlight. Look at Galloway! But what makes California specific to itself, if you had halftime entertainment in California, you would have to have board shorts, sandals. You'd have to have some Oakleys with the little string that holds them on, the neoprene one for when you surf. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's very specific to that. You know, if it was San Francisco, it would be something other once again. But Detroit, to me, is the automobile. It's Motown. That's the name itself is the name of the music. It's almost a genre of music that we still sample like crazy. Do you ever go to anywhere where there's where the floor is going on, any kind of dance groove or a lounge where they're playing beat music or hip-hop, whatever? You'll constantly hear this music referenced again. And if it's not the kind of music, then it's the way they sang. Go ahead, turn it up, Ed. Sing. That is my love, yeah. That was actually the Red Bull speaking, not Motown. But Red Bull could have come from Motown.
Possible.
It could have been a product that would have come from Detroit here. I'm wondering if anybody else agrees with me. I think that if it's going to be Motown, you know what would be good? If you combined some of these elements, okay? Because they're always doing the duets. And the most coolest thing now is when hip-hop and rap and people, there's no such thing as one singer anymore. Anytime it says Lil' Kim plus nine other names. All good, right? You know, anybody who's in the neighborhood, plus starring Snoop Doggy, Mary J. Blige, et cetera, okay? So what would be more modern, well, let's say postmodern, than you take some of those classic artists and mix them with the band that's playing for Kid Rock or whatever. Would you be opposed to that?
No, I think that's a great idea.
That would speak to me. You know, as opposed to just what exists now, because a lot of what exists now is very much based on that past. Why not share it both? What do you think, Bia?
What is the lineup for the Super Bowl right now?
I think it's the Rolling Stones, isn't it?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's
it. For the
halftime.
Okay, well, the Rolling Stones have made a glorious living on being black. And they'll tell you that. They grew up exactly the way I did, in the same kind of generation. I'm not too many years behind where they are. We grew up not imitating other white people on pop records.
We grew up imitating 70-year-old black people who came from the part of the world where Animal comes from.
Yeah.
We never made the distinction. We just said, that's the best music.
Yeah, because most of the sounds was did with their mouth, like I was imitating earlier, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, but I think they should do it kind of like Tina Turner did, Proud Mary. You know, she come in real soft and ended it rough. They should have somebody like Smokey Robinson come in, start it off, and then, you know, let somebody rough finish it up.
Kid Rock, rough it up.
Rough it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, certainly, I think the artists would approve of that. Yeah. I don't know
if that would definitely fire up the second half of the game. You know, somebody come out with a lot of spunk, get the crowd pumped up.
I just like the phrase starting soft and ending rough.
Hold on. Stevie says Stevie Wonder is going to play and Aretha Franklin will sing the national anthem along with New Orleans natives. So maybe we're halfway there. I don't know if Stevie Wonder is going to play at halftime, though. The Tops actually were recently added to the less prestigious, say that three times in a row this time of day, pregame show. I don't know if Stevie Wonder is playing on the pregame show or not. And it says Aretha Franklin will sing the national anthem. So that's the actual show, right?
That's beforehand.
Okay. Well, I don't know. That's beforehand. That's right at the beginning. That's kind of get it out of the way time, isn't it?
Maybe Stevie Wonder is going to play the piano while she sings the national anthem.
Oh, come on.
No. I hope he dance again. Did you see him dance on that other show last year?
What was that?
I think it was the MTV Music Awards, one of those awards. I don't remember which one it was, but he had a whole gang of people behind him, and he started dancing and didn't even miss a step, man. I think that was amazing. If he do that,
did he actually do the steps himself and then some professional dancers watch him and imitate it? Or did somebody actually take him by the hand and go, over here, Stevie. Now over here, Stevie.
I don't know, man. But it was great, though, man.
I'm going to tell you why I asked that question. Because I was sitting in first class of an airplane going from New York to Los Angeles a number of years ago. Stevie Wonder, the eminent real Stevie Wonder, was in first class as well. He's a couple seats behind me. It was a small first class, and he went walking by himself, feeling his way up, you know, on the tops of the seat cushions to go to the bathroom, okay, which is up front by, you know, where the cockpit is, right? And as he took like two steps, I happened to be looking over my shoulder, he took two steps to get up and out of the seat, and then he let go of the seat cushions, and he did the full Frankenstein pimp roll.
Wow.
How did he learn that? How did he learn that? You know where you walk like one foot is about 6 inches shorter than the other and you act like your shoes are untied, you know? And you put your hands down kind of around your belt buckle, Snoop Doggy size. Turn it up. I'll show you, baby. Yeah. Pimp and drag and pimp and drag and pimp and drag. We're here. How did he learn that? You telling me that's genetic or did somebody go, no, you step, drag, step. And drag. Now look at the bitches. There you go. The only thing he didn't do was look over his shoulder. And you know he's got a sense of humor enough that he would have if somebody had put the idea in his head. Because he was rolling. This is something that takes hundreds of hours. Either practiced in exercise yards in federal institutions or playgrounds around the world. I know it. It takes hundreds of hours. I was raised in an integrated environment. Watch, I'll do it again. Here we go. And drag. I'd love to think it's genetic, but I prefer to think that somebody actually sat down with him as a kid and said, here's how you get girls. And don't go too fast or they can't see who's driving. Roth Radio, I'm driving. David Lee Roth, Danny is in attendance. And we'll hear and we arguing about whether or not these Motown stars should be here. Rachel, she wants to talk about the Super Bowl. Rachel, Roth Radio, you're live. Go ahead, babe. Are you there, Rach? She's going to come on super loud. I just know it. Go ahead, Rachel, you're on.
Hello.
Oh, it's Raphael.
Oh, it's Raphael. Sorry, Raf. Go ahead, man. You're on, babe.
No. I was saying that I don't think they concentrate so much in what town they're playing in, because the Super Bowl has become now an international thing. In Europe, it's a big thing. South America, Central America, Asia, anywhere. So now, I guess what they're trying to do is just have somebody international that can reach all kinds of people.
Sounds great. Sounds interesting. A lot like your accent. You got a cool accent. Where are you from?
Colombia.
Okay, and if we played the Super Bowl in Colombia, would you be serving Chinese food to the athletes in the back?
No,
it would be Colombiano. Sí, absolutamente, amigo mío. And what would be the entertainment in the halftime? It better be Shakira, or I'm going to throw you off the phone right now, baby.
Yeah.
All right, let him talk. Knock it off, Hutch. Go ahead.
All right.
So you still think it should be international and flavor of all different nations, or should it be specific to where the campsite is? What do you think, Rafael?
No, it should be American because it's an American game. But what I'm saying is now they try to make it, it's so international now that they can't concentrate so much in local.
Okay, but do you agree that it should be international, or do you think it should be local? What do you think?
I think it should be international because it's watched all over the world now.
Okay, I agree that it should be watched all over the world, but each place that this broadcast from has something completely único to sell, to represent. And whether it comes from a different country or a different city, man, if you're going to broadcast from New Orleans, that's a whole different musical diet.
It should be both.
Oh, yeah.
You have some internet, the Stones and a local thing.
Sure, and if it comes from the East Coast, that's very different. And what if you go down into Macon, Georgia, and all of these kinds of southern states. In Texas, very different than the southern states, baby. Think on that. Don't go away. I want to talk more about this. Throw me the ball, baby. Yo.
Tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, Scarecrow? Sie haben sich direkt zu David Lee Roth dazugeschaltet. Wie wäre es mit etwas Feuer, Vogelscheuche?
Right, we're going to the Super Bowl, huh? Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, large and in charge. 866-313-3733. We're also international from sea to shining sea, from Broadway to Cheyenne. East is wild. Yes, I am, baby. DavidLeeRoth.com or the DavidLeeRothShow.com. Send us an email if you've got something on your mind. 866-313-3733. Danny, you've had a chance to think about it now. Should there be the Motown artists involved in a Super Bowl that broadcasts from Detroit because that's part of Detroit, or should they move on into a completely modern kind of thing? We're going to take a call in a second, but weigh in on this. What do you think?
I mean, it's not very nice, but no, I don't think they need to. I don't think it's an obligation just because it's in Detroit that Motown should be part of it.
Okay.
It's unfortunate, and I think a lot of those musicians have been mistreated, but...
Well, why is it unfortunate if you believe in it? Explain to me why you even think that would be unfortunate if you believe in it. Why is it unfortunate?
Well, no, I believe that the halftime show should be at the discretion of the people who put together the Super Bowl, and they need to have something that's a mass appeal, which is why every year they choose as big of a name as possible. And I think, unfortunately, 10 to 20-year-old people don't really care about the Motown.
I'm going to agree with that until they hear it sampled into something brand new, coming from the M&Ms or the Jay-Z's or whoever. You got a really good point there. Go from the top there. Brian wants to talk about commercials in halftime here. Brian, you're in. Go ahead. Roth Radio, you're large.
Get it. Simon Dave, what's up, buddy? Listen,
you.
Man, nobody cares about the football game no more.
That's an interesting point. There was a whole series of commercials, and then a football game broke out. So go ahead and illuminate. Do you care about the game?
Oh, I care about the game, but, you know, more people are worried about the Pepsi commercials and what new commercials than people are going to pop out of a small bottle.
Have you gone to Heavy.com that we talked about yesterday that has all the commercials that won't make it onto the air? Have you seen that website yet?
No, I won't even look at it, bro. I want to watch a football game. I'm just so sick and tired of everybody that don't know nothing about football is worried about the halftime show.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an excellent thought as well. You're saying that what if we simplified it then? Would you go back to marching bands? Would you have formation marches and, you know, that kind of a thing and make it closer to the way it was in the 60s? Is that an idea?
Dude, I'm gonna eat my mother's food at halftime and drink a couple of drinks and enjoy halftime. Like everybody else should, you know what I mean?
Who do you think would be good to have at halftime here? Do you agree that the Stones is a great idea?
I think David Lee Roth should be playing live Van Halen at halftime.
All I need is $500, a bus ticket home, and a new white suit. Can you engineer the ticket?
You can stay here with me, Dave. Don't worry about it.
Thanks for calling, Brian. Talk to Phil here. He's talking about the Funk Brothers. I don't know what that's in reference to. 866-313-3733. Talk to me, David Lee. Phil, you're on. Go ahead.
Actually, it's Bill. I'm calling about a band called the Funk Brothers that played behind all the great Motown people.
Exactly. I was reflecting on that band earlier. Explain what you're talking about. Go ahead.
I didn't hear what you said, but they were responsible for shaping a lot of the Motown sound, and Stevie Wonder played with them, and... You know, it'd be great to just get some of the old guys back to mix with the new guys, you know?
I don't know that there's a whole lot of the old guys left at this point in time. I saw a tribute concert that they had, and, you know, all of the members who were supposedly there, they had cutout pictures, life-size, sitting on the chair, and they would yell the name of the musician, so-and-so, on the bass, and they would step aside from the chair, and there was a picture of the fellow because he had since passed on. And virtually 7/10 of that whole band had since passed away. You had a lot of great musicians sitting in their name, but I don't think most of those guys even exist anymore. Do you think they still do? I don't know.
Well, that's too bad. I don't know, but I think it'd be worth looking into because, you know, much like the auto industry, Motown is very definitely, as you said, one of the things that shaped and made Detroit.
I think if somebody was being creative, there's a way to weave it in, because I agree with what Danny is saying. If you're young and skinny, this belongs to a different generation. And I know the way I felt when I was a kid and my parents told me about Broadway music, or you should really listen to West Side Story, or take a listen to Gene Kelly and Singing in the Rain. And I thought that stuff was the squarest, just because it belonged to another age bracket, a whole nother voter block. Now I can see the difference a little bit here. I think if somebody was being creative, you could wind it into the way that everybody does already. You got five homeboys and a turntable with a microphone up there that are on the left-hand side of the charts, whether it's Beyonce, Jay-Z, Snoop, you name it. You know, Animal, you worked with half of these people.
Oh, yeah, I worked with half of them.
And you know they revere these sounds, man. What's the first thing when you get a 64 lowered Impala? You get a Smokey Robinson tape. Go ahead, tell them.
You know it.
Really, truly. So there's a point there, because I assure you, Snoop Doggy does own a 64 lowered Impala. And if it's not a 64, it's a 62. Thanks for giving us a call. He's talking about the Funk Brothers, which was the band. It's not even a backup band. It'd be like me calling the Van Halen's a backup band. It's not a backup band. It was a real thing that was identifiable with or without the singers. It was the same band played for virtually every Motown act that you ever heard or something like that. So what are you pointing at?
Oh, nothing. I was trying to get Sean's attention.
Go ahead, say it, Sean. You don't have to write it down there. Man, swing.
Dave, as long as it's not Aerosmith, we're happy.
Well, Aerosmith has become the mainstay. Is, in fact, that a quintessential American band? Because isn't that kind of a Brit sound? How many times are you going to watch Aerosmith? How many times did they actually play? I think like 3 times. Something like that?
Yeah. With every new artist that comes out, Britney or whoever, Justin Timberlake.
All right. At any rate, do we have one last call on this here, man? Go ahead and take Brian here. What's up, Brian? Roth Radio, you're on.
Yeah, I say that Super Bowl halftime should be just like Paradise, and they should watch the lingerie bowl instead of the music.
Well, I brought up that there could potentially be a some kind of a pay-per-view broadcast where you could watch all the cool commercials that didn't make it. I wouldn't mind seeing Janet Jackson's other boob. Hey, I'm easily...
Hey, I caught you down the Brigada back last June.
Okay.
Excellent show.
Thank you so much. And as you know from yesterday's show, I'm suing the Borgata because I gained a little weight and I no longer fit into the waiter's costume.
Hey, I gained a lot of weight, too, on the roulette table, if you know what I mean.
Call me lucky. Some people do. Thanks for calling in, Roth Radio. Hit up one last one up there. Mike, you're on. Swing for it. 866-313-3733. It's all going down on Roth Radio. Mike, you're in.
Go ahead.
Hi. Hey, this is David Lee, right?
Yes, it is.
Hey, nice to talk to you. Big fan for 20 years.
Outstanding.
I was just telling your guy there, what about Iggy Pop, Native Son?
Iggy Pop from Detroit?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? There are two things that never change from birth to life. Okay, I'm going to share this with you. This is a scientific equation here, and it's apropos of what you're talking about. There are two things that look identically the same from the time they are absolutely born until the time they die. A sea anemone is the first one. It looks exactly the same from the moment it's born until the time it dies. And the other is Iggy Pop. It used to be Neil Young, but he changed a little. Iggy is exactly the way he was fabricated. The exact way he came out of the toaster is the way he's going back in. I want what he's having. I want to drink what he's drinking here. So what do you? I don't know if Iggy Pop is appropriate for an international market. Do you really think so, or are you just trying to get the spotlight here?
No, I'm not trying to get the spotlight. I'm just saying that I grew up with a lot of different rock and roll, and he was a pioneer. So I mean, if you're talking about Motown, you got to talk about Iggy Pop being a pioneer, too.
I think you probably do, because in terms, especially in the inner city here, like New York City, Pittsburgh, right, Cleveland, these kinds of cities, that kind of music that Iggy pioneered is absolutely paramount. You can say the initials CBGB. Everybody knows exactly what you're talking about. If you're exactly talking about downtown, the Lower East Side, the impact that that all had, you know, on the rest of the world, yeah, absolutely. But again, I don't know if that actually applies to you know, the international audience. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Pick it up, Eddie. Yeah. Looks like if you're not going to watch the Super Bowl, we got Paris Hilton is set to host ITV2's The Red Carpet. What is ITV2? Do you have any idea? Is that international, Hutch?
Yeah, it's British independent television number 2.
Oh, okay. So this is UK. This is Ireland, Scotland,
yep,
Brits, etc. Okay. Well, how is it Paris Hilton is over there? She's an international star now, right? Evidently.
They how probably sad is love that?
Evidently. Say again, Dan?
How sad is that? She is an international star.
Well, what do you think? What is the chemistry of Paris Hilton mean to you? What do you think makes her work as a celebrity? What's
ignorance
working there?
It's plain and simple. I mean, if you see kids right now, people, you know, 15 years old that idolize Paris Hilton, she didn't even graduate high school. How is she a pop culture icon?
Well, I think she probably represents, at least from a guy's point of view, the most easily accessible way to find that lifestyle instead of having to read about it. Paris Hilton is like a short story for those of us who don't want to read or don't have the time. And in terms of the fairy princess story, you know, the heiress with all the millions, etc., I don't think it's so much Paris that we love as the idea of the lifestyle, okay? When you have that lifestyle at your hand, which is all limousines, jet planes, J-Lo, Diddy, etc., 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 then, okay, that all comes into play. When you think about Paris Hilton...
I think a lot of people think that a girl like that that's born into wealth, it's kind of like winning the lottery, you know, for people.
Well, you know, you think about it, you get lost in it in your own brain, okay? You get lost in it at the workplace. You get lost in it at the drill press. You get lost in it in the car. You can think about everything that she does because most of what surrounds her is bad publicity. Stop it. Hutch, put the right loop on.
Yeah, the CD player is blowing up here, Dave.
Well, go ahead and switch the CD player here.
Hold on a second.
Anyway, courtesy of, who is it now, CBS? is it Infinity? Okay, it's number one on the loop, Hutch. Hit it.
Just broken. You got it.
Is it broken?
The blender broke. There you go.
Not surprised. No, that's been a constant here. We shall transcend. Anyways, I think that when you think about Paris Hilton, you're thinking more about where she is and the people she's hanging out than actually with her. And for a guy, it seems like an easy date, but she's probably higher maintenance than tropical fish, don't you think?
I'm sure.
What about her sister? She got anything to offer?
Yeah. Her sister's actually in college, and they did, I think it was on VH1. I was kind of embarrassed I was watching this, but they were comparing the two side by side, and they were showing like a Saturday night out or a red carpet event, and Paris is basically wearing nothing, leaving very, very little to the imagination. And then they show her sister, who isn't even showing cleavage.
Okay, then it's probably the sister who's going to inherit the empire and become the maven, all right? The Leona Helmsley, who actually runs the hotels, the one who actually travels to the cities and makes sure that the staff is up to par and that the menus are qualified up. She'll turn 35, probably get married once, probably have some successful children like Don Trump has, whatever. I want to discuss with you what's going to happen to Paris right after this. Don't go away.
How sweet it is to be loved by you. Yes, baby. Ooh, how
Roth in the mornings.